and find us and forgive us and restore us. Well, I tell you, I thank the Lord for His goodness. What a blessing to see the altars being used for His glory and for your good. Wonderful. We have a few minutes this morning. We're going to take and try to preach from the Word of God. And then after that, it's already been mentioned, but we're going to dismiss over here and go to my right and your left into the Family Life Center and have a meal. There's plenty of food. I hope all of you will stay, even if you didn't bring anything. Come and eat with us. It'll be wonderful. If I forget this, I'm doing it now, so I won't forget at the end. I'm going to dismiss when I get done preaching. I'll dismiss our young ladies' class, and they're going to go over and finish prepping the food, and we'll sing another song at the end of the service and give them just a moment to do that. Let's take our Bibles this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. And you've been seated a while. Let's stand and stretch your legs and honor the Lord's Word as we read. Luke, chapter 1, verse number 28. I hear pages turning. That's a good thing. They're probably sticky pages at the first of the Gospel of Luke. This is, and you'll pick up when we begin reading, this is what's known as part of the Christmas story. And you usually hear this preached around the month of December, but thank God the Bible is relevant every month of the year through every holiday. And every day of the year, it's God's Word is truth, and this Word of the Lord has directed my heart this morning. So let's look at verse 28 in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." You can have a seat. I want to take this very well-known text that, again, we all read at Christmas time. I hope you do. I encourage you to. If you don't do anything else at Christmas time, you should get your family and gather your family together and open the Word of God to Luke chapter 1 and 2 and read the Christmas account with your family. That's a memory that we started doing years and years ago. And I can remember a few of the gifts and the presents that I got growing up and received, but I'm being completely honest. Your children may nod off while you're reading it, and they may want you to hurry through it and whistle on through it so you can get to the presents or the food. But the lasting memory I have in my mind is sitting around with my mama and Tommy, my brothers and sisters, and taking the Word of God and reading the account of how the God of heaven left his home and came to this earth to be robed in humanity and flesh so he could live and die for me. And I encourage you to do that. But it ain't Christmas, so ho, 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 Merry Christmas. You'll get that in a while. This morning, I want to preach on the subject, He Lives in Me. Mary, just a young woman, a young, virtuous, virgin woman, was there about her own business, doing her own thing, had lived right, lived a pure life. By the nature of her testimony, God would not have took a different kind of woman. It had to be a virgin, a pure woman. And she's going about her business and doing her thing, living her life. And out of nowhere, I mean, it had been 400 years since God had spoken. It had been a long time since God had given any revelation. And they had prayed and they had sought. Could you imagine? I was thinking about Mary. What a woman of faith. What a powerful testimony. I have a hard time staying right with God and keeping close accounts and short accounts with God when I hadn't heard from Him in a day or two. At the most, a week or two. When we go two or three services and God hadn't spoke to my heart or got specific with me about anything, just all general. I get nervous. I don't like it when God goes silent. But could you imagine 400 years, nobody had heard from God. And out of nowhere, this angel appears in Mary's life. And there he is, and he begins speaking to her. And of course, it startles her, and she's a little nervous and fearful. And he said, fear not, Mary. You are highly favored. And God was getting ready to do something for her that I hope has happened to you. God was getting ready to overshadow her, the Holy Ghost come upon her, and the holy God of heaven was put in her and began life, the life that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, take this account on He lives in me. And if you're saved this morning, He lives in you. That is not up for debate. If you have ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of not just things you've done, but of who you are, and said, Lord, here I am, a sinner. I agree with everything you said about me. I'm wrong. I was born wrong. I continue wrong. I am at odds against you, and I need forgiveness. I don't want to continue living this pitiful life that I have, and I'm coming to you. Do you realize you never will get to that place in your life apart from the Holy Ghost of God drawing you? No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said, and we can't come. We'll never be drawn to Him in and of our own goodwill. It must be God that'll speak to you and draw you. Who made the first move here? I just said it had been 400 silent years. It wasn't Mary that went and sought God. No, it was God that went and sought Mary. And if you're saved this morning, you ought to look toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for coming to where I was and seeking me and making the first move. It was God seeking you if you're saved. Amen. And so, if you're saved, and I hope you are, if you're not, I can take the Bible and show you how you can be. But if you are, He lives in you. That's a big deal. It changed Mary's life forever. Mary's life was never the same after this happened. And I'll just testify and jump ahead a little bit. Since the day He moved inside me, I've never been the same. All things did pass away, and behold, all things did become new. That's what the Bible said would happen. If you're still the same old person, if you still have the same old desires, if all you're doing is trying to turn over religious leaves and do a little better here and there, but your desires and your want-tos and your motivations are all the same, your loves and the things you lust after, they're all the same, then what did He save you from? And there must be a change by definition. The Bible says it twice. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he said another verse, and then two verses later, he said the exact same words verbatim. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that word repentance is just a military word, and it means I'm heading this way, and I about face, and I turn my back on all that I was headed toward. All that I wanted, all that I craved, all that I was that involved and enveloped my life, I turn from that and I turn to Him. That's what salvation is. And so let's look at a few of these this morning. I don't know that we'll get done if we don't. That's a good thing about being a pastor. You don't have to get done. You can come back the next time and chip at it again and again. And so If you think about it, all through the Word of God, they are types and allegories and analogies and portraits, little pictures and see-through glasses that picture salvation, getting born again, everything I was just talking about. And here, I believe, is one of the greatest examples in the Word of God of a picture or a portrait of a person getting saved, of Jesus coming to live in you. And so, number one, let's look at the confrontation of salvation. Verses 26 through 30 deals with the confrontation of salvation. I said it briefly a moment ago, but I'll say it again. Salvation always, 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 always begins with a confrontation. It's when God comes and confronts you and causes confrontation in your life and says, hold up, you can't go any further like this. I'm going to confront you. I'm going to check you. I'm going to make you draw attention to yourself and who you really are. And He confronts you. And boy, that don't feel good. If you've ever been under Holy Ghost conviction, you know what that's like for God to hang you out over hell and show you that's where you deserve and that's what you deserve for all of eternity. And you see that and you willfully say, yes, Lord, that is what I deserve, but I'm pleading out for mercy. I'm crying out for grace. And you said you so loved the world that you gave your Son, so I don't have to go there. But it wasn't glorious when He confronted me. No, it was terrible. Remember Paul, Saul at the time, he was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus come and sought him out, and the Holy Ghost confronted him and caused a major confrontation to the point it kicked him and knocked him off his horse. It blinded him. Major confrontation. And the harder the Holy Ghost confronted him, the harder the Bible said, why kickest thou against the pricks? Saul, why are you fighting this so hard? Because it was a confrontation. He didn't want what was going on until God turned the light switch on and revealed to him how marvelous it is to be saved. And that's, hey, listen, whether it's a mama or a daddy, a friend, a co-worker, that's how our lost family and friends and co-workers are. They have no idea what they're missing. They're groping, the Bible says, in darkness, being blinded by the God of this world. They have no idea until God, the Holy Ghost, cuts the light on. And that in and of itself is confrontational. Have you ever had the light shined on you? Has God ever flipped the light on you? And sometimes we like cockroaches. Boy, when the light comes on, we want to scramble and get out of sight. Because we feel naked before the Lord, and we are. In our own righteousness, we are naked before God. We have nothing. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have nothing to offer Him. He sees us for who we are. And so salvation always begins with a confrontation, or better known as conviction. He confronted her in verse 27 personally. Look at it in verse 27. The Bible said, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Listen, he didn't just come to their area. He did come to Nazareth. He did come to their general location. But God, the Holy Ghost, got specific and got up close and personal and said, I'm here not to just see your row. I'm here not to just see your section in the church. No, I'm here for one reason, and that one reason is you, Mary. I'm here that I may come upon you and that I may overshadow you and that I may put the Holy Son of God in you. And salvation, it has to be personal. It cannot be a generic thing. I've seen films. I watched a short clip of a Billy Graham crusade over the weekend, and what a powerful preacher at point in times in his life. But he had these big mass athletic department. What do you call it? Coliseums and football fields had them just loaded to the gill, and he would get up and preach and. I mean, people by the hundreds and hundreds would just come, and you'd see whole rows get up and lock arms and come down and pray a prayer and get up and go back, and it just made me think. I mean, that can happen. I'm not saying God's limited, that it cannot happen. But like Brother Jackie was saying earlier, I don't want my salvation based on some emotional decision. I don't want to base my salvation on how it felt or that I was in a good crowd of people and we all went for it. No, salvation is something personal. He did die for the world, but he died for you, and it's got to get personal to you. This would not have worked had he just come and tried to do this with the whole town at one time. And Mary was confronted personally. Then she was confronted physically. Verses 29 through 30, the Bible said, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He knew her neighborhood. He knew her need. I remember when the Holy Spirit of God came into my room, into my living room, right there in your old house. And I remember it as clear as day. And there's no other word to describe it, but the fear of God fell on me. You don't get saved popping bubble gum and like everything just A-OK and it don't bother you at all. No, it's a serious moment. It's a sober moment. It's the very moment that the God of heaven came to you and confronted you for who you are personally. And he is, it has to be a serious moment. And he not only met her need, which he did, she was fearful, she was troubled, and getting under conviction and getting confronted by God is a troublesome time. It is a time that fear will fall on you. If you've never experienced the fear of God, I would wonder why not. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. You know, fear was present with her on this day, minding her own business, probably not much more than a teenage girl. Some of you teenage girls in here, could you imagine this happening to you? I'm saying this woman was filled with faith. I believe she had to have as much faith as anybody in the whole Bible to take this hook, line, and sinker and go with it. I believe that. I really believe that. He knew her name. If you're not Mary, Psalm 147 says he telleth the number of the stars and knoweth them by name. All the stars in the whole milk, he has them numbered and named. But thank God, I'm glad this morning. Listen, he knows my name. He knows my name. I remember him calling me personally up close and confronting me and calling out my name. No longer was it my youth group or my church. It was me. I'm the one who's standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that he came to personally and confronted me over my sin. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever dealt with God on a one-on-one basis where you just didn't need him to fix some small problem you had or you wasn't praying for somebody else, but that it was you, not my brother, not my sister, but it was me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Got to get there to get saved. And quickly, moving on, it's like that word favored. The angel said, thou hast found favor in the sight of the Lord. It's the same word found in the book of Genesis chapter 6 when the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That favor was simply God's grace. God said, I'm favoring you. And if God ever puts His favor on you, it is nothing more, and it's the same thing as His grace shed on you. That the God of heaven, the holy God of heaven, would come to you or to me, boy, that's grace. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so did the mother of Jesus. If you look for that word favor, and look it up in your Strong's Concordance or several other places, it's the same word as grace. But then he confronted her on purpose, not just personally, but on purpose. God didn't make a mistake on who He chose. I'm not like the Catholic Church and never will be. Don't have anything to do with it, to be honest with you. They have taken the Word of God and hurt more people. I could preach for a year on the damage and the blood that's been shed that comes out of the Catholic Church. But one thing that they do, and they go overboard in it, but they do respect Mary. And I think that we've run so far from that because they went so overboard with it that we just don't respect her at all. But she was the mother of the Lord Jesus. She is not God. She has nothing to do with God other than being His mother. You don't have to pray to her to get saved. But we should thank God that she was the mother of Jesus. She was a special woman. Amen. And so God had a purpose for her. And that purpose was that He would be able to put His Son in her and let Him live in her. And God has that same purpose for you. If you're saved, you have a purpose. And it's to allow the God of heaven to live His life in you and through you. In other words, let Him, He don't have hands in this world anymore. He's seated at the right hand of God on high. And so if He wants to walk somewhere, He's going to walk through you. If He wants to say something, He's going to speak through you. If He wants to touch something, He's going to touch it through you. Amen. He's living His life through the believer. It's Christ living in Mary. And oh, what a purpose to let Him live, to let Him live long enough to bring Jesus to this world. Ain't you glad Planned Parenthood didn't get a hold to Mary? Ain't you glad that the abortion butcher shops of this country and around this globe didn't get a hold of Mary and say, oh, you don't want that child. They're going to call you all kind of filthy names and accusing you of being some whore and whoremonger, and you had this child out of wedlock and it's going to cause you all kind of financial trouble, all kind of religious trouble. You don't need this, Mary. Get rid of that baby. That's exactly how she'd be treated today in America, sadly. Thank God Mary realized, I have a purpose, and that purpose is to let Him live. Let Him live. Let Him live, not just in me, but so He can go through me and reach the whole world. Don't let Jesus die in you. You say, well, I couldn't do that. No, you can't kill Him again. That's right. He ain't going to die again. He died once, and that was enough. He'll never die again. But you can let His purpose die in you. He wants to reach other people. He wants to touch other people through you. Don't let Him die in you. Amen. Amen. And so, the confrontation of salvation. Number two, probably all we get to, the Christ of salvation. The Christ of salvation. There would be no salvation apart from Christ. Yes, Mary was important. Mary was needed. Joseph was needed. But God could have done it without either one of them. He did. He spoke Adam into existence. He didn't need a mom or a daddy. He could have done it again. But listen, this couldn't have been done without Jesus. This couldn't have been done without the Christ. He is this. He is the essential part. He is the must-have part. Remember, salvation has nothing to do with what you can do, but it does have everything to do with what He has done. Amen, that's right. We learn a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ and His characteristics and attributes right here in this text. First of all, in verse 31, the Bible said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name," capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S, Jesus, all caps. Look through that chapter, it just stands out. Turn to that page and just let your eyes float across the pages, those black letters on white pages, and there's that giant name, just one letter after another, saluting, saying, "This is me, look at me." You can see that name above any name on your Bible if you just look down at it. There it is, standing at attention. Because He is who it's all about. The name Jesus. It's a supreme name. Notice it's all in capital letters, as I said. And you ain't you glad that God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name? Amen. It's a sweet name. The old songwriter had it right when he said, "Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." It's a name that holds salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Bible goes on to say in Romans 10, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a saving name. It's a sufficient name. There's a lot of people said a lot of things in the Bible. I thought this was interesting. You'll find quotes and even sentences, and even in this text, Mary says multiple things. But search your Bible and find all the sayings and all the words that Joseph said. They ain't hardly any at all. But let me tell you what Joseph did do and did say. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, the Bible says, "And he called his name," speaking of Joseph, "and he called his name Jesus." Joseph said, I'm not going to say a lot. I'm not going to be recorded for saying a lot. It's not going to be said of me that I said a lot. But the one thing that I do want recorded is that I called him Jesus. That's all I need to. Hey, listen, that's all Joseph wanted to be known as, the man who acknowledged him as Jesus. Amen. And that would be the most profitable thing you could ever do, is to know him, not just know the name, but that you call him Lord. Amen. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. It's at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Every demon in and out of hell, every person that's saved or unsaved, every sinner, every born-again person will one day bow the knee and proclaim that He, Jesus Christ, is Lord. Adolf Hitler, who hated those Jews and done that awful, awful period of time and burned all the Jews at the stake. Listen, Adolf Hitler will one day bow to the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and claim Him and proclaim Him to be Lord. Oh, yes, He will. He surely will. And listen, the devil himself, who detests and despises, would make Hitler look like a saint. The devil will bow the knee and profess and proclaim with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by the way, so will you. So I ain't doing it. Oh, yes, you are. No, I ain't. Well, just hang on. We'll see who's right. The Bible says every knee. That includes yours. Every tongue. That includes yours. You will bow the knee. I will bow the knee. But hey, why would you wait? Why would you wait and be forced to and then cast into hell when you could do it willingly now and receive Him into your life and let Him live in, by, and through you and go to heaven when you die? Amen. See His name, but in closing, His notoriety. Boy, He was one of notoriety. The Bible said in verse 32 that He shall be great. That word great means eminent ability, virtue, power, and authority. Speaks of His glory. He shall be called the Son of the Highest.
Speaks of his government. In verses 32 and 33, the Bible said, he shall give him a throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, to his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh yeah, he's a powerful, powerful name. And he's one of notoriety. Speaks of that throne, speaks of his position. Where it said he shall reign over the house of Jacob, speaks of his preeminence. And forever and ever, and there shall be no end, speaks of his permanence. And I can say this morning, he ain't going to be voted out of office. He's not going to be impeached. He will be and is Lord of all and above all. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who Mary was allowing to live in her. That's who I am allowing to live in me. And all that we would take the mentality this morning, that less of me and more of thee. All that people would hear less of me and hear him speaking through me, that they would look and see less of me and see more of him. One of the disciples, I believe John said, I must decrease. He must increase. I'll get to this probably tonight, but that baby started out just so tiny and began to grow. And some of you mamas in here know that it don't stay comfortable. Things begin to stretch and gets tight. Yeah. And he starts poking out and pushing out in places. And the longer you save, the longer you allow him to live in you, the more of him people should see in you. He should be poking out. He should be changing your appearance. He should be changing our attractions and what we appeal to and our affections. Oh, yes.
That's right.
The longer he's in you, the longer you allow him to live in you, the more of him we should see and feel, and the more of him that others should see and feel. So we looked at this morning the confrontation of salvation and the Christ of salvation. Tonight we'll look at the course of salvation and the change of salvation. And there is a change. Then the comfort of salvation and then the completeness of salvation. We'll look at those this evening. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus more than anything. Thank you for Jesus, who come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh God, that we would fall in love afresh and anew with you, Lord. God, when we were at our worst, you loved us, Lord. When we couldn't love you back, you loved us. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch, oh God, your people. Those that may be here this morning, lost, been playing religion, been trying it their way. I pray, oh God, that you, the Holy Ghost of God, would go to them and convict them and confront them of not just all they've done, but who they are at their core, a sinner in need of saving. And God, to those of us who are saved, oh God, that we'd be grateful and thankful that you come to us and found us, got personal with us and confronted us, oh God, and became Christ to us and in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I pray you'd make those truths real. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder this morning, with nobody looking around,